Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. God told us to establish this place, to pray in the plans of God, and to stop the plans of the enemy. We were praying here in corporate prayer on Prayer Mountain, and you'll get more out of this if you hear yesterday, but I don't have time to review everything. But we were here on Prayer Mountain praying on June 29th when the Lord, literally, we were praying about, this was 2008 and there was an upcoming election. We were praying about that election and the Lord literally shook us and said to us, one thing will save America, and it is not the election, it is an awakening to God. One thing will avail for Israel and the nations, it is an awakening to God. And we were given instructions to begin to pray in an awakening to God. He told us at the time to study awakenings and to study the part of prayer in the awakenings. We began to pray at Wednesday noon because we found out about a great prayer meeting, the 1857 awakening. 1857 through 1859 began with a prayer meeting in New York City, and the whole of the 2 years of this awakening, 1857 to 1859, the whole of it was prayer. Not one preacher. They didn't have a Jonathan Edwards. They didn't have a Finney. They had prayer. And it spread across this country so much so, you can read about it in a book that we offer, two books really, the New York City Noon Prayer Meetings and Revival Fire by Duell. And of the 30 million people in the United States in that 1857 to 1859 prayer meeting revival, it spread all across America like fire. People were praying at noon everywhere. Out of the 30 million people, 2 million of them became born again. It affected so many thousands, joined the Presbyterians, joined the Baptists, joined the Methodists. The Louisville, Kentucky Daily Paper said, after they'd had 17,000 come to the Lord in the Baptist Church in March, the Louisville, Kentucky paper said, the millennium is here. It so affected the moral condition of this country. Revivals will affect a church or a town or whatever, but an awakening affects the whole of society. And so, in 1857 to 1859 was the noontime prayer meeting, so we started our noontime, we made our noontime prayer. And then we began to stream it, and now we have a live streamed prayer every Wednesday at noon. We were given instructions by the Lord to pray in an awakening, and that has been our focus for 3 years. However, on Mother's Day, and Mother's Day is a Sunday, but we do have corporate prayer out here at 3 o'clock on Sunday. On Mother's Day, he added us an assignment. After 3 years, he added an assignment. And the assignment he began, I woke my eyes up in the morning and he said, what about, how powerful were that mother's prayers? And the mother he was talking about was Hannah. Hannah of 1 Samuel. And how she so desired a son. And she prayed in little Samuel. She promised God he could have the child if he would give her a child. Now the conditions at that time, God is very well aware of conditions in a nation, and particularly Israel. The conditions at that time were Eli was the high priest. His sons were very, very wicked, and Israel had no leadership. She prayed, and she got a son, which was all she really, but she gave him up, really, to Israel. She gave him up to Eli, and she took him up when he was 5 years old. And she said, I promised him to the Lord. And then she spoke forth a very powerful prophetic. The Bible calls it, she prayed and said. It actually is a prophecy, but it says she prayed and prophesied. My heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted. There's none holy as the Lord, none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. And then she goes on to say in verse 5, the barren hath borne seven. Now, if we read past that prophecy and we go down to the 21st verse, it says, the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters and the child Samuel. So that's 6. Who was the other one that she birthed, the 7th one? We find that in her prayer prophecy in verse 10. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. It's his anointed one. Who is his anointed? The Mashiach. If you read that, his anointed, you read it in the Hebrew, it says Mashiach. And he shall give strength to his king. He is a king Messiah. So she prayed in their immediate king. He wasn't a king, he was a judge. She prayed in the immediate leader of Israel, Samuel. And then she prayed in their ultimate leader. So the Lord said to us, I want you to pray in a leader. And I saw it as one word, leader, with parentheses as parentheses. Leaders. He said, awakenings must have leaders. Pray in a Moses. And so we began on Mother's Day to begin to pray in a leader and leaders for the awakenings. He's given us information along the line. He's added to what to pray. He told us to pray for this leader. One day he told us, pray that their faith fail not. And then another day he told us to pray that in a leader who, like David, who was a man after God's own heart, would inquire of the Lord. And so now as we pray, there's much emphasis on this leader. Let's say the President of the United States, or pastors, or spiritual leaders. But we need people who are inquiring of God and aware of Israel and its place with God. Now, the Lord told me to study awakenings and the part of prayer and awakenings, and I did so. And I found out that the United States was born out of an awakening. But now something he's brought to my mind recently is the connection with awakenings and leaders for the country, especially where the USA is involved. America was born out of the Great Awakening. I even read a lecture by a Harvard professor that you cannot understand, you cannot know the colonists that formed the words of the Declaration of the Independence, you cannot understand them at all if you do not study the Great Awakening. For the words that were in their founding documents were preached in their pulpits by the ministers called the Black Brigade. Britain said they never would have won the war without the Black Robed Brigade. The Black Robed Brigade. They wore their black robes when they preached. So America was born out of a Great Awakening. Now the Lord has caused me to see recently that we had the right leaders at the time of America's birth. There had been a Great Awakening, and we got George Washington, and we got Samuel Adams, and we got John Adams. These were all very dedicated men. We got the others that we needed at the right time that could bring forth the United States to her birth. The United States was founded, of course, by the Puritans and pilgrims. And it's sought after God, but we've seen that the spiritual heat or intensity would wane, and then there would come a great awakening, and then it would wane, and then God would send another awakening. So one of the awakenings is the fourth great awakening, and it took place from 1857 to 1859. And this great awakening, the awakening that came from 1857 to 1859 was started with a prayer meeting by a man named Jeremiah Lanpier in New York City. He was hired by a church. The church was the Old Dutch Reformed Church down in New York City near Wall Street today. And that had been a residential section. But as New York City grew, it became a business section. But the people who owned the church, they lived way out now. They lived out in what we might call the suburbs. But they knew that good, beautiful building was there, and they hired a missionary to knock on doors of the businessmen, business people, and invite them to come to church. They would get a new congregation, but he didn't have any luck, you might say. And he became very tired, and he would pound the pavement. Then he went back to the church and prayed at noon, and God met him with a presence. So he just tacked up a little note and said, we're going to have prayer here every day at noon. And the first one was September 23rd, 1857. He prayed half an hour alone, but then people started up the stairs. Those noontime prayer meetings spread across America. The pastor, who was the pastor of that church at that time, wrote in his book that he thought one reason why the people so came to the prayer meetings were the disasters of 1857. So I just went on my Google and said, disasters? What disasters came in 1857? And there I found that the disasters that came were very much even like what we know today. There was a great economic disaster. First, they had very wicked weather. In January, they had a great snow blizzard, worse than anything they'd ever had, and people died, and it was a terrible time. Then they had a financial collapse, which they called the financial blizzard of 1857. The stock market failed, you might say. The banks closed. There was a run on the banks. They closed. It was really probably, they called it a year to be forgotten. But the noontime prayer meetings started, moved across this country, and a great awakening happened here in this country. And I thought, well, you know, 1857, that's not long before the Civil War, which began in 1860. I'm going to find out about where was Abraham Lincoln in 1857. And I found this online. I'm reading to you now. Upon gaining the Republican nomination in July, Lincoln made a forceful speech at the Illinois State House in Springfield, speaking ominously of the task before the nation. A house divided against itself cannot stand, he famously remarked. He took it up to run for Senate. For the senator from Illinois, he became the candidate of the Republican Party. He was little known. People didn't know him. Illinois was the frontier. They didn't know him back on the eastern seaboard. But in an effort to improve his standing among the electorate, with little to lose and everything to gain, Lincoln challenged Douglas to a series of debates at various sites around the state. Douglas accepted, and the rest is history. Throughout the summer and early autumn, the two men met on seven separate occasions, making lengthy, impassioned speeches in front of large, enthusiastic crowds, ranging upwards of 15,000. After each debate, the press would relay the highlights back east into the newspapers, and readers nationwide followed the progress of the campaign as it unfolded. Lincoln lost the senatorial election to Douglas, but he became known across America, and America had her leader to lead her through the Civil War. I believe that those prayers, those noontime prayers, set the spiritual precedent for God to give them the right leader for America during the Civil War. Right now, today, we're praying for an awakening, and we're praying for a president of the United States of America who will be awakened and inquire of God. We're not political. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm registered in one of those parties, but I'm a one-issue person, and that is America has to bless Israel. We have to have a leader who knows to bless Israel. We have to have a leader who inquires from God, and we will get it if we will pray and believe God. I don't care if God changes our presidents. I don't care if he gives us a brand new one, but he's told us to pray for a leader. What attributes to pray for? This is Billy Brim saying shalom, shalom, until tomorrow. Oh, until Monday.